Hello, everyone. Good evening. On this beautiful summer day that's full of thick trees and leaves and beautiful gardens and lots of rain around here. But the rain has really, really nourished all the living plants, and it's quite beautiful. So I'm grateful for the beauty. Okay, we are gathering. So settle in. And while we're waiting for everyone to arrive, are there any questions that are coming up for you at this point that we would like to put into the circle, and put into the circle meaning that I'll address as well? Anything coming up for you?
Hi, Sarah. This is Carlo.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kind of a vision
Hold on,
about.
Carla. Can you speak more into your microphone? It's a little faded.
Oh, is
There.
that better?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. I was envisioning my personal mandala, and it was like you described it, stretchy and moving, and I saw white light on every point, and then they all switched to colors. It was really beautiful. But my question is, how do I incorporate that lovely vision into my being to the point where I feel it instead of just see it? I guess that's the question. I see it often, but I'm not really feeling it.
So, can you feel how your mind is formulating a question that separates you more from the experience?
Okay. I guess it was because I was
Can't I
thinking
can't under
about.
wait,
Oh,
you're yeah.
I'm thinking it was like, I was thinking it was like, I was envisioning it too much and not feeling it. So that was probably too much in my mind. Is that what you're saying?
Not too much visioning, but ask, and this relates, Russell, to your comment about thoughts too. So if I asked you to lovingly hold that experience, Carla, what would happen?
My breath would slow down and I would become calmer. And more easily sink into my heart. Yeah. I was pushing at it too much.
Beautiful, beautiful realization. Yay.
Gee, thanks, Sarah. Oh. Okay.
Go. You
Thank
got
you.
it. You're welcome. How
Okay.
about anyone else? Okay, so this is our fifth session in the Blessings of Love, Bursting Out of Limitation. And we have one more next week. And then the very next week after that, we start the next 6-week session. I had, like I said, I had been thinking that we were going to take a break after next week, but we do have one more 6-week session. And that one is the blessing of illumination and direct transmission. Oh, no, the blessing of illumination and guidance, something like connecting to direct transmission. I spent the day writing up the class description and doing everything. It's on the website now. So, of course, I should know the exact title. But, I download all this information for the whole year in November of the prior year. And so sometimes it's as much of a surprise to me as it is to you. And I can see why the guides, the teachers put that class in place, because we are moving very much in the direction of each person being able to receive from the field, from their being, the direct experience and the direct transmission of all the wisdom and love that permeates all of existence. And so once you can shift, just like Carla did, just then, from the thinking part, the thinking that separates you from the experiences you've had, and start holding them in your heart like they're a precious jewel that is an experience rather than a something to grasp, then all of a sudden it's sitting in you and pulsing, and you are attuning to it until you become it. And that is the secret, that is the approach to take to your path of realization. And it doesn't fit in the materialistic mode approach. It's not something you can grasp. It's not something you can even use. It can't be used. It eludes you if you try to use it. And it's about communion, it's about realization from within. And so it's hard to let go and feel safe to let that approach to life settle in with yourself, because it feels like you're going to lose ground, you won't be competitive, you won't be accepted for your approach. And it takes you out of time, it takes you out of money, it takes you out of everything that is currently valued in the culture. And what you gain is your sovereignty, your self-respect, your wisdom, your love, which is a completely powerful and living foundation for living your life. So it doesn't mean that you get excluded, that you won't be competitive even in your path. It means that you're coming from a richer, more meaningful unfolding of your path. And it's what we are moving toward in this culture. And so It's really good to notice when you do feel that grasping or feel unsafe, and that it creates a resistance in your being to a deepening, more connected experience. And Carla felt that. She felt that grasping. And then she sh shifted, and she felt it after she shifted into her heart. So while you're in the middle of it, you don't realize it. And then you shift into your heart, into your connected space, and you actually become more powerful. Your frequency becomes brighter. You have a lot more magnetism. You have truth. And you have like a space that allows wisdom in as you're navigating your world. And it's a really long journey to learn how to trust that. But you have to keep being courageous moment after moment to test it out. And then there comes a time when you can't not live from that place. And it feels like you're willing to give up everything because the value and the exquisiteness of being that deeply connected overshadows everything. And when the spiritual teachings talk about releasing, letting go, not being attached, that's what they're referring to, is the attachment to the materialistic culture that has really been brewing on our planet for about at least 5,000 years. So it can be a big shift. It's a tiny shift, but it can feel like a big shift. And it's up to each person to find that value for themselves. That's when it becomes your path. And that's when your past lives and karma, if there is such a thing as karma, karma is really about the accumulation of heavy energy. It's not about right or wrong. It's not about being good or bad, but what is it in you that goes against yourself and thus collects this heavy energy that tends to bind us on all levels of our being? And it's up to each one of us to sense when we're being bound tighter. And when that binding is softening and opening. And what is it open to? It opens up to you and the beauty and stream of who you are. And so I'm really emphasizing tonight, and this is what the teachers have been leading us into all year. And I can't believe it's almost been half a year that we have been in class together. It feels like it was just January and we were starting 2025. But they're leading us into sensing our own path and our own unfolding. And the consequences of each of our thoughts, feelings, and actions that are not consequences created by being comparing them to the judgments of the culture, but to what our soul tells us in terms of their alignment. How are you aligned with who you are? And so that requires a shift from external comparison and dependence on the judgments and mores of the culture, and your soul directive, your alignment with yourself. And that takes a lot of courage to step into that. But that's what we're all being invited to do. And so, in any kind of spiritual group, it's about community. It's about supportive community in the greater sense, and support for each person to take steps to unfold their own being. And in order to feel comfortable doing that, sitting in that space of love and discovering more and more what love is as an energy, as a frequency, as something that is ubiquitous, is everywhere. And so we're growing up our concept of love so that it is something that we live with in our bubble, and that supports us. And there's no mistake that the word love and courage are very often referring to a heart space, that they come together. Just letting the energy settle in. So the next class is up on the website, and so is the solstice program up there for Friday, June 20th. It's in the evening. And I'd like to invite you to, for the people in this class, to, if you'd like to invite someone to attend with you for free. If you feel like you have someone that you would like to introduce to the sacred circle and to the energy and to the solstice, invite them to participate. And you can send me their email and I'll send them out the information. Or if you just want to share the information with them, that's fine too. It's not like I'm trying to collect emails like every other program that's offered for free tries to do. They're just collecting emails to make their social media more valuable to someone else, to a greater organization or identity that would consider them more valuable for having more emails. And also, it was very interesting last week that when I asked the question about, is anyone interested still in the retreat in October, and I wrote this on the class page, I'm not sure everyone saw it, but yeah, I was not comfortable asking that, but I was guided to ask it because I never want to appear as if I'm hooking or pressuring anyone. But I was guided to ask that. And given that frequency response that occurred, it was like at that, by the end of the class, the energy from the old retreat from last year, which was only like 7.5 months ago, ended. And the new retreat energy came in, and I rewrote the whole retreat description for 2025 over the weekend. And it came in with a blast. And I share this with you because I didn't know that was going to happen. And I still don't know why it had to happen that way. Why did I have to ask that question? Why did that complete the energy from 2024 retreat? And why did it open the energy for the 2025 retreat? Have no idea, but it did. And so the whole week I've been under the impact of the shift in frequency that happened and the opening that happened for the 2025 retreat. So the 2024 retreat closed and the 2025 retreat opened. And the new frequency is coming through for it. And so the 2024 retreat set a foundation, and we opened up a pyramidal consciousness there. And now that pyramidal consciousness has turned into a multidimensional consciousness where these golden beings are guiding the experience, and that was initiated this past week. And so there's a whole new frequency, a whole new experience that will happen from this retreat. And to share with you further, for me to adjust to that new energy, I barely slept for 5 days at least. The energies were pouring in so strongly, and my being had to adjust and adapt to the frequencies so that I was almost totally erased from who I was, and a new version of me emerged through the attunement of that frequency. And that's what will be happening for everyone who is involved in that retreat. So you maybe, if you've signed up for it, you may be going through that adjustment already, or you will be. And if you haven't signed up for it and you find yourself interested in it, it's because you're attracted to the new frequency and not the old. And I only share that with you as a teaching. You know, that I can share my experience as a leader and a guide and what I go through to bring these offerings to life. It's not just an exercise, a mental exercise, it's a complete overhaul of being. And for each one of these classes, I go through an adjustment. I've already integrated what I'm teaching for many years, but then to bring it to life for each session, each topic, I go through a complete adjustment and attunement. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes I don't want to let go and let through what is coming through for a class. And my least favorite thing is sitting down at the computer and writing something up. I just really don't like doing that, but I have to maintain the frequency while I'm writing and while I'm at the computer. And so it is a discipline for me to get into that space so that I don't communicate how much I dislike it, but what comes through is a communication from the teachers. So, it's sometimes it's just not easy. Is that helpful for to share that with you? I mean, if it's not in the future, I won't, but I just wanted to be transparent.
Helpful for me, Sarah. It's Russell. I mean, and I was even going to ask you a deeper question because I go through phases where I don't sleep either, and I'm just kind of wondering what the experience is for you. Are you like just like up or just trying to sleep and not, or energies are coming through? Because like so many times when I think there's something wrong with me, like why aren't I sleeping? But I guess what I'm realizing is maybe I'm experiencing just changes in frequencies as well. So I was just wondering what that experience was like for you.
Well, it's there's several versions of it, let's put it that way. Sometimes I could not be sleeping because I'm picking up, let's say, the clients I'm going to work with the next day, or someone in my family is going through something. So that's one level that can cause me to not sleep well. This was definitely this bursting dynamic energy that was coming through that had to retune every cell in my body. And so it was a very vibratory experience all week. And it felt like I just couldn't sleep because part of me was tired, but the rest of me just had to be vibrating. like a string, on a musical instrument. I was just being played constantly by a musician, and I was just constantly vibrating. And it's not like there was a lot of thinking involved in it, or even a lot of ideas involved in it. There was a knowing that I was working with these beautiful teachers that I had not ever met before. I had not come in contact with them. And I had no words to describe what was happening. And like what you wrote about on your comment on the page about words, my current realization about words is there are no good words, just like you came to that realization. That somehow the way our language has developed, and this probably relates to the Tower of Babel story in the Bible, but however, our current language that we're working with in terms of English is a language that separates from the soul rather than expresses the soul in its vibratory state. In other words, you can find words, but are they conveying the actual realization of the state that you're in? And so I know in my life, I have depended on being in that state so that whatever words I use can carry the frequency of the meaning that I have and the frequency for those words. I can't depend on the word to actually carry the meaning. I have to broadcast the meaning through energy and vibration. And so that requires an enormous amount of attentiveness, to what I'm saying and how I'm teaching. But there are languages that do that. And since I've been trained in several different spiritual traditions that use mantras and the names of God, when you repeat a mantra thousands and thousands of times, the vibration gets into your being and you become the realization of that mantra, not because you're thinking, but because the word carries the realization. And so I've spent years and years and years repeating thousands of mantras that grew in my being into realization. So when I teach, I have already had the realization of what I'm teaching, but trying to convey it in English is pretty strenuous. That's why I'm hoping telepathy really, really, really gets going here. But if you sit with words and feel like you did, like you expressed, Russell, how they actually dull your frequency most of the time, right? And actually have that binding effect, and contracting effect. And so, when I'm by myself, I divest myself of words and live in frequency. And so what happens is when, and I'm sure you've experienced this, when you live in the frequency of a realization, eventually the words are going to come. You're going to be given the words. It's not the other way around. It's like you don't start with the words, you start with the frequency and then allow the words to come. And the words come when you have integrated the frequency into your being, into a living state. And then the words will come. But you have to be really patient and able to cultivate, gestate the energy first. And that's not necessarily a quick process. Does that make sense for you?
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. And when you did the exercise with Carla at the beginning, I was doing it along with Carla silently, and that made such a huge impact because as soon as I went down to my heart, I was communicating with my tree outside, and it just I when I held the experience in my heart, it changed everything. It got me out of my head. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you had the experience.
And thanks for all that you just explained. That was so super helpful as well.
I was thrilled that you brought that up, and that you are noticing that. I actually was going to bring that up tonight, so you were right in tune.
It seems to happen a lot.
Yeah, it does.
It's exciting.
It is. So
Thank
thank
you.
you. Let's see, who else came on the line?
This is Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Hi. Anytime, Sarah, that you speak about your process, I am honored and I learn. It is wonderful for me to hear you speak about your process because I am elevated by the frequency of it. And I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. So, let me just say this. If people have questions about my process, feel free to ask. I always feel like I'm talking too much about me if I talk about it, and that's not my orientation. But I am happy to be transparent about my process and what my experience has been. So if something should come to you and you want to ask about it, I'm open to responding to it.
Yeah, this is Mark. I had a question. I got, you know, you're talking about how you get the transmission and it changes you at the cellular level. How is that related to your core self? So, I mean, is that the core self also changed in the process, or is it kind of like I don't know quite how to describe the, you know.
I understand what you're asking.
Okay, good.
Okay. I would say that in terms of my eternal soul, that would be what I would consider my core, okay? That it is, it's vibrating more of that core into the experience of my life and in integrating that, the gem, the jewel of my being, and exposing more of it and bringing more of it to life.
Okay, I can feel that. That makes sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a one, I love it. It just, you know, I can be tired going through it. So
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I love.
Is it because the frequency is different, or it vibrates at a different level, or it's in addition to? And again, mm-hmm. I don't want to get too heady about it. I want to sense it more from an intuitive level.
Sure. It's tons of light and high frequency vibration coming into my being. And so, okay, so you know the cymatic plates where they vibrate the plate like with a violin bow or an electronic vibration, and then the sand comes into that mandala shape or whatever it is. Imagine they went from a C note to a D note, and the whole mandala had to change.
Sure.
That's similar to what I experience. So if you're going from C to D on a C scale, the D is a higher frequency. And so I'm recoagulating. My one mandala is disintegrating, and the next one is coming into form. And in that process of disintegration, I'll understand some of my limited thinking. I'll understand, let's say, more of my self-criticalness, you know, like real basic emotional limitation might be revealed, thinking process might be revealed, physical. Sometimes I'll get sick, sometimes I won't. When I go through a big transformation, I tend to get a cold or something. So it goes through every level of my being as the one configuration dissolves. And the next one starts to take form.
Okay. Is that, and the sickness and things like that, is that part because of the limitations of the body in the process?
Yeah. So let's just say I have a hidden virus or a fungus or something that's been sitting in my body, and it's not compatible with the, or a pattern, a habit of my muscles and fascia, and it's not compatible with the new frequency, then I can have pain in certain areas of my body as it's reconfiguring. I can have accidents because I'll get awkward as my physical cells are changing, as my fascia is releasing. And by the way, I put up a couple of three videos on fascia on the energy and research page today. The fascia is really important to start learning about. And then my relationship, my views of relationships can change. I can realize things about relationships or ways I've been thinking about my life that can all start changing. And then on a like a more unseen level, I feel like I'm in communication with a level of wisdom and consciousness that is new and more open and more elevated. And so then I go through this whole reintegration. And let's just say, using that illustration of the sand on the plate being tuned into a new configuration, once that configuration sets in, then I have to unlearn the habits of the old wet configuration and keep adjusting and saying to myself, oh, that's not me anymore. This is the new configuration. Let me respond to life and all my little situations in the new configuration. And so it takes some time to kind of jiggle that into full active awareness. It's a whole big process I go through every time.
Sure. Is it the release of contraction, or is it just a new new frequency level?
It's
or
both.
Is it both?
It's both.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So whatever is stuck in the fascia feels like a release in the body. You know, habitual patterns in the body, and you know, I can go through a change of like. I was eating meat for a couple of years, beef, and I just went through something where I can't even look at beef anymore. So that, like, all kinds of things will change, and even textures of certain materials and ways I want to drive to where I normally go. I'll change the way I'm driving somewhere. It's like everything shifts as I'm attuning to the new configuration. And these golden teachers that came in are so magnificent, but I have not been in contact with them, and they're opening up a whole new dimension that is so multidimensional and so outside our framework that I love being with them, and I'm still integrating them for the retreat. So here we are, it's June, the retreat's at the end of October, and it's going to take me all that time probably to integrate this so that I can guide us in the end of October.
Okay, sounds exciting. Not for me, not for you necessarily.
Well, you're going to be going through it too, because you signed up.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good. I'm ready. I'm ready for some transformation. That's all good.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I love when you share your process. It's so inspiring. This may sound funny, and I don't mean it to, but it sort of expands the space that's not weird when I get into it.
Uh-huh. I understand that.
Okay.
it normalizes weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also the kind of thing where often I wouldn't even be aware of how to ask the question. That's how much is revealed to me as you share your process. So please, I love it. I hope you will continue it. And the initial reason I wanted to speak now was to express how powerful a teaching your comments about your process on the retreat are right now for me. And just by way of a bit of explanation, You know, I was on the retreat last year, for those who don't know, and it was an extraordinary experience, incredibly powerful, incredibly transformational. I totally loved it. And I imagined then that I would absolutely be coming on the follow-up retreat this year. And when you started talking of that, I think it was late in maybe even in 24 or very early this year before it was on the page, I tuned into it. And I really struggled because it simply wasn't calling to me. It wasn't about the retreat. It was about me. It felt dead to me. Not in a bad way. It just, there wasn't an aliveness. It wasn't. And I struggled with that. I meditated. I asked for guidance. I sat with the retreat crystal and tried to more fully integrate the initial retreat, thinking that perhaps that was the reason for the, it wasn't even a strong negative, a strong positive. It was simply not at all alive. And I finally accepted within myself, I guess I will phrase it as saying, I accepted that for whatever reason that I didn't understand, my not signing up for the retreat was my being true to myself. I didn't understand, but that was the reality. And I've continued to kind of, touch base within myself with that, read it. And it's been the same. So I had simply accepted that that's where I am. And just as you spoke about it tonight, I'd read what the email you sent, or I guess it was on the class page, with interest, curiosity, I guess I will say. But as I listened to I felt the frequency as you spoke tonight, I now feel it's alive. And I don't know that it's, I'm called, but I do know that it is, I feel like it's very much alive. Mm-hmm. So it's so, that was, I mean, it's wonderful in many ways in terms of the shift in frequency, your experience, the experience that will, the group that assembles there will be affected by, but also for my own recognition that there was a reason that I now understand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So thank you.
You're welcome. And remember a few times ago, I spoke about how to approach whether you're called to a retreat or not. And this applies to everything. Letting it unfold is the way to go. If something isn't real clear for anyone, you patiently hold it and ask and let it unfold. And until you know. And that's for anything in your life. Learning how to hold, how to ask the question, let it sit. And, even as I say this, and I'm saying it in its purity, I want to say to you, Fran, sign up for the retreat.
I will. Thank you. I am now, at least it feels alive, and I'm now, I had accepted. I just said, okay, I accept. I don't know why. I'm not to be part of this. And it will be a blessing, clearly, for those, a big blessing, a huge blessing for those who are, as it was for me last year. So I will go back to, I'll read the new description and sit with it.
Yeah. And I truly, I mean, I really respect your sense of unfolding for this. I really do. So
thank you.
And I'm glad that you got that confirmation.
Yes, because I only can imagine how well you know this in your experiences, but how challenging it can be to have something that just doesn't, like, how on earth could that be? It makes no sense. And knowing somehow the deeper knowing within is I will only be true to myself if I follow what I sense to be true.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
You know, I want everyone to sign up for the retreat. I want everyone to be there. There can only be 18 people. But, you know, that's where I'm coming from when I say sign up for the retreat. It's just because I want everyone there. But yeah, go through your process and see where it lands. Okay, anyone else? Hey. Okay, allow yourself to settle down into your being. Feel your breath. Feel yourself sitting on your seat. Drop down in. Come to yourself. Gather your attention. Gather your energy. And it is your power. And I don't want to shy away from the word power. It's not power over. It's not the way power is used in our culture. It's energetic power that you're gathering back to yourself. And there can be a tendency in people who are spiritually oriented to shy away from power. But if we go back to the 60s and hippie time, I think we used to have the phrase love power or power of love. But power and love go together. Love is a powerful experience. And power in the energetic sense means that you have brought, you've cultivated the energy of your being so that you become a celestial body, a sun that's radiating, vibrating light and energy, life-giving energy. So that's how I see or experience the word power. And actually that just came together for me right then in terms of when your power is collected, you become a center of life-giving energy for yourself and for the life around you. That's what Mother Earth is. She is a collection of life-giving power. And that's what our sun is. Our Father Sun is a collection of life-giving power. And life-giving power is not power over. It's not manipulative power. It is wisdom, radiance. It is vitality. It's exuberance for life. But it's connected to something greater. It's not personalized and condensed to be used. And to adjust to the idea of this unlimited generosity as a collected power of living energy is a shift in how we think and experience our being. So, Ananda, I know you've referred to the exuberance of your being and certainly the generosity of your being, but didn't understand how you thought you were supposed to contain that. You're not supposed to contain it, but you're not supposed to dissipate it either. It's got to be rooted in a way that it sources you in a way that is continually regenerative rather than exhausting. And exudes in a way that it's true living energy and not the energy that somehow we use to enchant people or connect to other people. It's much bigger than that. That's what a mystic does. They become the living sun. They become the source of living energy. And that's what we are learning in these new frequencies, and we are just like barely an embryo in this. But we are being sourced with that message and the frequency to become that message. Any thoughts or feelings about this, what I'm saying right now?
I absolutely love it.
Oh, no good.
And I'm just realizing when I'm connecting with another, it's another human, typically not a nature being, but I lose that sourcing and then it's coming out of me. And so this is a really good reminder that if I'm continually sourcing through the living vital energies, then eventually I'm assuming it'll become more automatic and I don't have to catch myself and go back. So that was really informative.
Yeah, the more you practice, and you just keep going back to seat and feet, as far as I'm
right.
concerned. That's the mantra. Eventually it becomes your default and you just automatically go there. You still need regenerative time given how our world is, but it really does become your default with the practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I value that too. And it just, what I like is it just takes it all out of the conditional realm.
Yes.
And that's, it just takes it up. out of the conditional realm, and that's beautiful.
By the way, women, we had a beautiful The Spell is Broken men's class last Thursday. It was really quite beautiful. So.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so we're connecting that energy's coming in right now. And somehow I was given the reminder that you may want to renew your altar if you have one. And I don't mean altar in a rigid sense, but anytime I work with clients or teach a class, I activate my altar, which is a representative of the elements. So I have a chalice with water, a candle with fire, flowers for the air element, and at least 500 crystals in the room for the earth element. And I, every day that I'm working with clients and every class, I bless and activate the altar, which connects me directly with the living energies of the elements and brings in their circle of support into my consciousness, into my being. And it, you know, sometimes when we're doing our activating our sacred circle and we relate to the elements, this is a way that I'm activating the elements for classes and clients. And you may want to do that for yourself as well. As a practice, as a way of learning about how you resonate with the elements. And it doesn't have to be a rigid ritual. Mine's never a rigid ritual. I was outside talking to my irises that were so beautiful, and the roses, oh my God, they're so beautiful this year. I can walk outside and smell the fragrance of all the roses in the gardens. And, you know, as I'm cutting some flowers for the altar, I'm talking to them and resonating with their elemental being. And that all contributes to what is brought into the class. And if you're ever able to do that before a class, that would just contribute beautifully to the frequency of the class and would contribute to you being even more of an active participant from a sovereign place in the circle. In other words, you're bringing your activated consciousness to the circle instead of waiting for the circle to activate you. Can you hear the difference in those two things?
Hi, Sarah. This is Carla. I am going back to my initial problem this evening where I was caught up in the thoughts. And I'm realizing that for me to initiate my sacred circle with the spirit of the land and the nature spirits here to come into communion with me, I have to think of it first before I can resonate with it. And that's where I'm getting caught up, because I feel like if I don't, quote, set an intention or approach it with intention, I am not doing it properly or whatever. because I feel like there's no structure there, and then I get lost in nothingness then. Oh my goodness.
No, I understood what you meant.
Okay. So I'm confused about, I guess, the initiation of the process without speaking or without thought or without talking, or, and I can't compute that yet. That's been a stumbling block for me.
When you dance, do you always set an intention?
Sometimes I do.
Uh-huh.
It depends on whether or not I have a thing that I have to create for a specific purpose. Then yes, I set an intention. But if it's just me and my freedom, I don't. I mean, it's a totally different thing. It depends on whether I'm creating something for something or if I'm just dancing for the love of it and for the experience of losing myself in it.
Okay, so then let's leave out the part about doing it for something and the part where you do it
Okay.
for the love of it.
Yeah,
And
okay.
you say, and you said you lose yourself in it.
I do, yes.
Okay. And then what happens when you come through losing yourself? Where do you ultimately emerge again? What's the sum result of the whole experience?
Being who I really am, and feeling a freedom that I don't often feel if I'm not in that state, where I come back to a sense of belonging and a sense of being in love with what I am doing and what I am.
So if you let go of the intention and we're going to go back to the same place of sitting in your heart, and you get lost in your heart, but somehow that leads you into more freedom and more belonging, then you would backtrack and say, my intention was to feel more freedom and belonging, but I didn't necessarily verbalize or understand that losing myself, meaning losing all the constraints that we put on ourselves, can lead to that sense of feeling free.
Okay. I can follow that.
You know, so when I'm outside getting my flowers, when I'm filling my mother-in-law's wine glass with water, I'm honoring her, I'm talking to the water spirits. When I light the candle, I'm talking to the angels of light. When I have my crystals gathered for the class, I'm speaking to the crystal beings, and it's all coming from a deeper intention, which isn't always verbal in words, but the intention of my heart is there for the goodness of all.
Yes. Okay. I see that. Thank you. I feel like a weight has been lifted off of my heart.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you for that, Sarah.
So practice it, Carla. When you feel that, you know, you're getting stuck in your mind, drop into your beautiful heart.
And stop trying to follow a formula.
Yep. There's all the formulas are dissolving now.
That's what it was doing. That's what I was doing. It was always following the formula.
That makes sense for a science teacher, right?
Well, it did it at the time.
Right.
Yes.
But not for a dancer, not necessarily for a dancer.
Oh, having done both, I get caught up, yes. Oh, okay. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate the clarification because I was very confused and I wasn't even aware of how confusing it has been for me until we got on this call. So yeah, thank you.
So anytime you're confused or where any of us are confused, drop into your heart. Drop into grounding. Drop in and saying confusion is the result of being entangled in my mind too much.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for the blessings.
Oh, always.
Okay, now the energy is really circulating in our circle now. Luminous beings are embracing us. I want to add one more thing to your question, Mark. When I'm going through this reattunement, I actually withdraw, let's say, from Ken more. And he's learned that about me. He can tell when I'm in a process and allows me that space, but my personal relationships, I need to detach from them during that time in order for this to happen.
I can feel the importance of that. And it makes total sense to me.
But it may not make total sense to the people around you.
Right. No. Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, I would imagine that when you're going through that, you're butting up against a bunch of conditional forces that are trying to understand, you know, or try, you know, or don't understand. And so then that's another layer that would make it challenging in the transformation, I would think.
Ken, I don't know if you're awake or with us, but I don't know if you want to say something about that. I mean, he's been watching this for a long, long time. But he goes deep down in these classes, so he may not even be hearing us. I don't know. Are you there?
You talking to me?
You talking to me?
Are you there?
Yeah. Just what part should I speak to of that?
No, you. I don't want to bring you back from where you were at. You can address it another time.
Okay. There you
Okay.
go.
Yeah, I can tell that you're deep in there. Okay. Did someone else
Okay.
come on? Oh, yeah, someone else come on the line or not? Is that
It's
Kate?
me, Kate.
Yeah.
Hi there. I have a question about the fascia. I made big changes last year and I discovered that I didn't even really know what love was or felt like, and I had to learn that by unloading trauma. So I've had a year of it, and I'm kind of getting there. But my body is, I feel, almost changing shape. And it's so intense. The amount of shifting I'm feeling through the fascial networks, my bones are realigning, my jaws, I mean, like, I feel like, the Nutty Professor in reverse. So I'm not going outwards, I'm coming back. But I have a question. That is a question. But also about food. So, because my body is shifting so much and my dog is older, which means I'm not doing so much intense hiking, and I almost feel like my body said, you know what, we're not going to do muscles, we're going to shift your body. And I don't know if I'm eating enough. I feel much more drawn to liquid foods. I can't believe how little food I eat. And because my body is moving so much, those two things kind of come together as a question in my mind.
Right. So we have all this old training about nutrition and believing, taught to believe that all the nutrition that we are meant to receive comes through food. And my experience is that we need energetic nutrition more than we need food. And that if we focus on the energetic nutrition, we'll be drawn to the food we need to have. But it's that old, finish what's on your plate so the people starving in India, Africa, or wherever won't starve. Food is secondary nutrition as far as I'm concerned. That energy, vital energy, qi, is the most important nutrition and will guide you. And I think we go through periods of time where eating less food is supportive and eating more food is supportive at times. So I would start approaching it from that type of wisdom for yourself and see how it goes.
So the lack of protein isn't making my body remold. I mean, it's kind of that of a basic question. Like, am I not getting enough nutrition and that's why everything is shifting so much? I feel good. I do have to kind of push myself to maintain weight, but overall, I don't feel a deficit. I mean, maybe I do a little bit, actually.
Well, then, feel that and see what you need.
Yeah. One more question on that is, so the releasing of trauma and coming into my own lane, basically, getting really comfortable with that. Is that what is causing the body to shift because the unloading of the trauma isn't in there holding, or, and maybe it's both, or is it just that it is, it, you know what, it feels more like a light body, like maybe there's an activation of more of a light body that is just in alignment with how I was designed, without all sort of the twisting.
That is a beautiful insight. Because our light bodies are being much more activated, and we are going to be living from our light bodies more prominently day by day here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we have the toroidal field going. I know we didn't do a meditation to take each of you into a more subtle space, but I would say silently, you can toss a question or two into the column of light in the center of the circle, like we did 2 weeks ago. And if you'd like to do that, you can contemplate and see what your question is and let it plop into the center of the circle. And not to say it out loud, but to silently do it. Remember to let go of the question, let it really plop. Don't throw it in with a fishing line. Okay, that actually enlivened the energy. That was good. Okay, so we had a little bit different kind of class tonight. I hope it was helpful. And so we'll meet next week, and then you have the choice to join in the next session. You have a choice every 6 weeks for every 6 week session. And, you know, some people, you know, I don't know, do a year-long program, but for a long time now, I've been guided to have these six-week sessions so that people could make a choice. And that you feel that your sovereignty is respected and that you don't have to do anything. And it gives you practice in learning how you make decisions and just to learn more about yourself. And so the class is very different when the people who participate have made a choice to participate. The energy is very different. Rather than other motivations for joining a class. Okay, good. Okay, so we'll see how this all ripples out this week. And I really do wish all the best for everyone in our group here. It's turned into a beautiful, beautiful group. Let's just say community, not group, that is supporting us all. So thank you. Any last comments? Okay. Well, have a great week and we'll see you next week. Blessings. Okay.